We're going to start a new teaching topic today, a new teaching series called What's the Point? I hope you all got a bulletin today. Inside that bulletin is an insert that looks like this. The blue one is for the ladies, which is an odd color for a ladies' insert, but that's what we had in the office. And the white one is for you to follow along with me today if you want to. I would just encourage you to consider that, take some notes, and follow along with the scriptures and see what God might be showing you today. What's the point is the idea of is the topic of our sermon series that we're going to spend 4 or 5 weeks on, maybe. It's an idea that we ask ourselves that question quite often in all kinds of walks of life. I ask myself that quite often when I'm trying to build something. I get about halfway in, and I think to myself, what's the point? I usually do that about halfway through trying to do it on my own when I start looking for the instructions. Have you guys ever done that? I'm sure nobody's tried to do that. I was putting a shelf together last night, got halfway in and thought, where did I leave those instructions? Good place to find those quite often in my house? In the trash can. But the shelf got put together because I looked for help. But the idea behind the question, what's the point, is you're trying to investigate something. You're trying to figure out what the purpose of something is. So our little subtitle of this whole thing is discussing the meaning behind our faith and our beliefs in God. We're going to take time during this teaching series to look head on some of the foundational issues of our faith. We're going to be not scared of the questions like why, or what's the point, rather, if I want to say this correctly, what's the point to having hell? What's the point of a loving God if He's going to send people to a place like hell? We're not going to be afraid of issues like, what's the point of having church when it's so filled with imperfect people? And usually a pretty imperfect person is asking themselves that question. But we're not going to be afraid of asking these things. As a matter of fact, on the very bottom of your insert, you have an opportunity to give me your what's the point. What is the question you would like to ask God? If you could stand face to face with Him right at this moment, and you'd say, God, what's the point about, and you fill in that blank. I would love to know what would be coming through your mind at that moment. So if you want to, you can just take a pen or a pencil if you have one, and put that down on that little dotted line. Fold that across there. Tear that off. And the best place to put that in are little offering boxes that are right over here by these doors. We'd encourage you just to fill that out. You don't need to put your name. You don't need to identify yourself at all unless you want to. And you just tell me, what's the question you'd like to ask God? What's the point you would like to have in terms of a conversation with God? And fill that out, give that, and I'm going to review those this week. And that's going to help even just give me a sense of direction over how we can best utilize our discussion times as a church on Sunday morning. So take that opportunity and let me know what you're thinking about, okay? I'm assuming something about this question, what's the point? I'm assuming really three things I just want to give you right up front. If you get to the point where you're asking yourself, what's the point? You're probably assuming these things. That you've tried to understand something, whatever that is, and you still don't get it. Okay? That's a healthy thing. A healthy part of the idea of what's the point is you want to understand the other person. You want to understand the other position. The other thought that came in my mind is that maybe you've understood what the point is, but the cost to discover that truth is far too high. The cost could be the fact that it's fearful to experience something like that. Maybe it costs you financially too much. Maybe your pride would be getting in the way of discovering what the point would be of something. I also think that too often times when we ask the question, what's the point, we're really asking ourselves this question, what's in it for me? When we think about it in context of the world, we probably can come up with several different what's the point kind of questions. Here's a couple of them. What's the point to making your house payment? I've asked myself that question several times lately. What's the point? What am I getting out of that? I've got two payments these days. I'm wondering, what's the point? What's the point to recycling paper and plastic and glass? You ever ask yourself that question? I wouldn't even ask right now for a show of hands how many of you recycle. But somebody decided that was a great thing. Somebody developed a plan that we could do that. We put our little plastics, our paper, and our glass in a little container and somebody else takes that away. I wonder what happens to all of that sometimes. I wonder, what's the point? What's the point to drive the speed limit? I heard there was a lively conversation at men's Bible study about that. My personal opinion is, 5 over, we're safe. But, don't quote me on that. What's the point to buying American cars, anyways? Anybody wonder that? Y'all probably wondering it now, aren't we? It has a huge influence over our own community. If there even are American-made cars anymore, right? What's the point of checking my email? As long as I have one, isn't that good enough? I heard a teenager announce today he checks every other week. Why have one? That's my follow-up. What's the point to establishing friendships when too often those friendships just fall apart? Somebody gets mad at somebody and it never works out well. What's the point? What's the point to watch my spending? Or maybe a better way to say that, what's the point to managing my debt? Right? Too often that's how we live. What's the point to work on my marriage, to make it stronger, to invest in it? Too often, if you find yourself like Tammy and I, that's a question that you don't ask yourself enough. What am I doing to strengthen that? But then again, we're asking ourselves, what's the point in doing it anyways? What's the point to eating right, to walking or running or jogging or exercising, when chocolate cake's so much more enjoyable? I had 3 cookies yesterday and a couple of pieces of cake after the little golf outing. I'm admitting that in front of you because we're officially on a diet in my household. So if I confess in front of you, you know the game. If I can confess in front of you, I'm a little bit safer. But I ask myself the question, what's the point? If I go and I lose all this weight that Tammy's wanting me to lose, if I lose the weight that I really should lose because I want to be a healthy person, what's the point? I'm just going to put it right back on when I'm done trying, right? I mean, let's be serious. Now, when we get into the context of our church, of our conversation of faith, what's the point to attending church anyways? I mean, when Jesus was around, He didn't set up a church building and say, now y'all come. So what's the point to being here all the time? What's the point to reading the Bible on my own time? Isn't that what we paid those guys for? It's not. Let me just clarify. What's the point to praying to a God that I can't see, I can't touch, I can't smell, I can't hear from? What's the point to praying to a God like that? What's the point about giving my money to an institution like a church, who's probably got plenty of other people giving money to it anyways, and they really don't need my money? Why are they always wanting my money anyways? What's the point? What's the purpose? What's the point to all these rules that I keep hearing about? Why do I have to do this and do that, and why can't I do that anymore? What's the point? What's the point to believe in a healing when it seems like everyone around me gets sick and never gets well? What's the point to singing songs on a Sunday morning or listening to Christian music throughout the week? What's the point to getting brainwashed into thinking the way that my pastor wants me to think? It's not working. What's the point of all these different denominations, all these different churches, all these different styles? What's the point of going to church yet still wanting to live the way I want to live? What's the point of this sermon? I'm getting there. Just happened to fly out my notes. I wasn't sure yet. What's the point to helping the poor? Boy, I've had this conversation this week. What's the point to helping the poor when their need is just getting bigger and bigger? We have plenty of opportunities to help people. And sometimes I catch myself saying, we could pay that bill, but that's not going to take away the problem. so, should we not continue to help? But that we ask ourselves the question, don't we? What's the point? What's the point to join in a small group or attending a great ladies' Bible study? What's the point to sharing my personal faith with others when they're probably going to ask me a question I don't know the answer to anyways? What's the point to volunteering, serving my church, leading an area that desperately needs my attention? These are some questions that probably flew out of my mind in a matter of just a few minutes when I was thinking about what's the point. The bottom line is we're all looking for proof. We're all looking for an understanding of what God wants from us. We're trying to even come to a place if we even believe that God is really real. I would contend that the vast majority of you have already answered this question, that God is real. But I have to believe that among us, in a crowd this size, there are some who are sitting here still thinking, teenagers and adults alike, is this thing legit? Or is what I'm doing just faking myself out and believing there's a higher power? You'll know how you would answer that question when you come close to death. When you have to face death square in the eye, you'll know how you feel about that. But I think that's a deep, penetrating question. Is this God for real? I think it's natural for us to question. I think it's natural for us to question the existence of God. It's natural for us to question the ways of God. It's natural for us to question our need for God. There's room for doubt. There's room for uncertainty in our conversation. Sometimes, all too often, I think the voices inside of our head sound a little bit too often like the voice you're going to hear right now on the screen.
Prove to me God's love. Do you believe God loves you? Prove it to me. Give me tangible proof of His love. And don't just say, the Bible told me so, or Jesus loved you this much. Those are Sunday school answers. It's not tangible proof. Prove to me God's love. Because when I look at the world, I don't see God's love. Instead, I see millions of people dying from natural disasters. You've got tornadoes, earthquakes, hurricanes, all killing innocent people. Millions of women and children dying from starvation and drought. And you know, God can change all that. The wind and the waves, they obey Him, right? He can bring the rain or make it stop, but He doesn't. Now, does that sound like love to you? So I ask, to prove it to me. Because when I look at you, I don't see His love. Instead, I see marriages falling apart. I see you, His ambassadors, you can't even get along with each other. You stab each other in the back all the time and claim to love each other. If God really did love you, why would He make it so difficult for you to feel loved by Him? If God loved you, why would He make it so hard for you each day? Why would you have to struggle and wonder if you were going to get paid, if you're going to be able to provide for your family? If God truly loved you, don't you think He would take whatever it is that separates you from Him, remove it, and come down here, walk with you, and you would never have to question His existence again? Do you believe God loves you? Then prove it to me.
Too often we listen to that voice that says, prove it to me. Prove it to me that God is a God of love when all those things take place in our world. That's really the point of where we want to be. Anybody uncomfortable right now? Anybody identifying with any of these questions that are racing through your head? Are you finding some ideas here that you can grab a hold of? Where we want to land this, where we want to be in terms of talking and having this conversation, is we want to give you firm grounding to stand on, to answer these questions that might be raging through your mind. And if their questions aren't raging through your mind, I can guarantee you they're raging through your friends, they're raging through your coworkers, they're raging through your sons, your daughters, and your other family members' minds. So, if we can ask ourselves these questions, and we can get some solid answers, we can get on a path of finding some answers, I believe as a church, will be armed to go out into our community to share about this truth and not be wondering what's the point anymore, but we'll be able to express clear understanding of the point. Jesus often was asked, "What's the point?" It didn't quite sound like that in the Scriptures, but oftentimes people would ask Jesus, "What is this all about?" His response often was stories to illustrate great truths. I found it interesting that as I was looking at that this week, none of his stories were about 30 minutes in length or more and involved three or four points. But Jesus was an effective communicator in articulating what the point was every time. So I want to look at one of these exchanges. One of these exchanges that really occurred under the cover of darkness. It's recorded in John chapter 3. The Scripture is going to be on the screen. It's also on the back of your insert, and hopefully it's found its way in your Bible as well, if you've brought that with you here today. I'm going to be reading from the Message translation. Likely you won't have that in front of you, so that's a good reason to put it on the screen and on your insert. But I'd like for you to follow along with me this interesting interchange of a religious leader of his day coming to find Jesus under the cover of darkness. Starting in verse 1. "There was a man of the Pharisee sect, Nicodemus, a prominent leader among the Jews. Late one night he visited Jesus and said, 'Rabbi, we all know you're a teacher straight from God. No one could do all the God-pointing, God-revealing acts you do if God were not in on it.' Jesus said, 'You're absolutely right. Take it from me. Unless a person is born from above, it is not possible to see what I'm pointing to God's kingdom.' 'How can anyone,' said Nicodemus, 'be born who has already been born and grown up? You can't re-enter your mother's womb and be born again. What are you saying with this born from above talk?' Jesus said, 'You're not listening. Let me say it again. Unless a person submits to this original creation, the wind hovering over the waters kind of creation, the invisible moving the visible, a baptism into a new life, it's not possible to enter into God's kingdom. When you look at a baby, it's just that, a body that you can look at and touch. But the person who takes shape within is formed by something you can't see and touch, the Spirit. And it becomes a living spirit. So don't be so surprised when I tell you that you have to be born from above, out of this world, so to speak. You know well enough how the wind blows this way and that. You hear it rustling through the trees, but you have no idea where it comes from or where it's headed to next. That's the way it is with everyone born from above, by the wind of God, which is the Spirit of God." Nicodemus asked, "What do you mean by this? How does this happen?" My interpretation is, "What's the point, Jesus? Get to it." Jesus follows up this way, "You're a respected teacher in Israel, and you don't know these basics? Listen carefully. I'm speaking sober truth to you. I speak only of what I know by experience. I give witness only to what I have seen with my own eyes. There is nothing secondhand here, no hearsay. Yet instead of facing the evidence and accepting it, you procrastinate with questions. If I tell you things that are plain as the hand before your face, and you don't believe me, what use is there in telling you things that you can't see? The things of God. No one has ever gone up to the presence of God except the one who came down from that presence, the Son of Man. In the same way that Moses lifted the serpent in the desert so that the people could have something to see and then believe, it is necessary for the Son of Man to be lifted up, and everyone who looks up to Him, trusting and expectant, will gain real life, eternal life." Now to a familiar section of Jesus' words here. "This is how much God loved the world. He gave His Son, His one and only Son. And this is why. So that no one would need to be destroyed. By believing in Him, anyone can have a whole and lasting life. God didn't go into all the trouble of sending His Son merely to point an accusing finger, telling the world how bad it was. He came to help, to put the world right again. Anyone who trusts in Him is acquitted. Anyone who refuses to trust Him as long since been under the death sentence without even knowing it. And why? Because of that person's failure to believe in the one-of-a-kind Son of God when introduced to him. This is the crisis we're in, Jesus continues. God light streamed into the world, but men and women everywhere ran for the darkness. They went for the darkness because they were not really interested in pleasing God. Everyone who makes a practice of doing evil, addicted to denial and illusion, hates God light and won't come near it, fearing a painful exposure. But anyone working and living in truth and reality welcomes God light so that the work can be seen for the God work that it is. Those are the words that Jesus spoke to a religious leader of his day when asked what's the point of his work. I found it interesting that Nicodemus didn't start off his conversation with Jesus with questions. As a matter of fact, Nicodemus came to the conversation with his endorsement. You've got to understand, Nicodemus was prominent all throughout Israel. This is one of those religious leaders that when he said something, thousands of people would follow him. When he said something, people just agreed to it. He had authority over his followers. I found it interesting that he comes to Jesus at night. He wasn't really sure how he would be received. But he comes to Jesus at night, not to pronounce his faith in Jesus, but to give Jesus his endorsement. Jesus, I know you're the up-and-coming candidate. I know that you're doing some amazing things, and I think the church can really use you. I think you've got a bright future in Israel, Jesus. I think you're a man of God. And I just want you to know that I believe you are truly from God. See, I think he was just really trying to give Jesus a sense of an endorsement. Jesus was not interested in his endorsement. Jesus did not need his endorsement. But he certainly wasn't willing to sit there and receive a pat on the back from this religious leader. So what Jesus was, is in the sense of the conversation, he turned it just a little bit and said, "You're absolutely right, Nicodemus. I am from God. And nobody can even see what I'm talking about, the kingdom of God, unless you're born again." Well, Jesus knew exactly what that would do in Nicodemus' mind. Because in Nicodemus' box that he's formed for God, that born-again language wasn't in there. He could open that box up all he wants. He's not going to find that language in there. What are you talking about, Jesus? What's the point? Jesus follows that up with a conversation that points Nicodemus and all of us to an understanding that our God is a God of second chances. Our God is a God who looks at our lives of sin and says, "You can have another shot. You can have a shot so deep and so wonderful that the only way to describe it is to be born again, to have a brand new life, to have a brand new start." Again, Nicodemus looks at his box. His little God box that's been constructed all these years that he's used to teach about God to other people. And he says, "That doesn't fit. I don't get what you're saying. Jesus, what is the point that you're trying to make?" And Jesus begins to open up the book again and begins to articulate about God's love. And he says, "God did not send the Son of Man to the world to throw another finger of accusation." I think if Jesus could have thrown another word in there that would have made a lot of sense, he could have said, "You Pharisees are doing good enough a job without any of God's help." He didn't need to do that anymore. God's purpose in sending the Son of Man was not to accuse. God's purpose of sending the Son of Man was to show His love. Was to show that God wants to do an amazing thing through His people who are willing to have their life exchanged for a brand new one. And He goes through this beautiful illustration of God giving us second chances. I wish I could have been in that room that night. I wish I could have just overheard that conversation, that candlelit conversation where this prominent man is learning about what it means to be a child, like the children we prayed over today. He was learning what it meant to be born again, trying to understand what all of that meant. I love the phrase that Eugene Peterson uses in his translation, the Message translation or paraphrase that I read from. Everyone who makes the practice of doing evil addicted to denial. Boy, when I read that phrase, addicted to denial, my ears perked up. I think that we are a culture. It is our human condition to deny anything that might cause us embarrassment. Do you know what I'm saying? I mean, it's in our culture, from OJ all the way to baseball players. You know? Deny. Just deny. Keep denying. You'll get through it. If all we do is deny, we'll never be in trouble. Just deny, deny, deny. We are a culture of people who are afraid to confess. We're afraid to acknowledge the true condition. And we have bought into the idea that if we just keep denying and keep denying, some point along the way, people will forget they ever accused me of anything. And we'll be okay. The problem with being a culture of denial is that we can never move ourselves into the light. This conversation between Jesus and Nicodemus took place under the cover of darkness because Nicodemus didn't want any of his other people, any of his other leaders, any of the other people of his council to know he was going to this man, Jesus. But you've got to come out into the light if you want to truly understand this Jesus. In order to find the answer to the question, what's the point? We have to come into the light ourselves. In order for us to come to a place where this conversation of what's the point is going to matter at all over the next month, we ourselves have to acknowledge that we need to come into the light, that we need the light. The light exposes truth. It's the light that makes you feel safe. It's the light that reveals your next step in your spiritual journey. Those aren't difficult things to understand. We just went through a process here of exchanging and putting in all new lights in our church. I mean, we got a lift in the back closet here to get up there and to do all of that work because we value light. If you were to walk in here and it were dark in the middle of the night, this place would be a little spooky. Whoever invented red exit lights really didn't get the idea of being in a dark place and needing to find your way out, because the little hue of red that goes around this place can be a little bit intimidating. The idea of light is that it reveals the truth. It reveals exactly what's going on. It makes you feel safe. After I left here and it was still dark and I had that beautiful moment of worship, I drove to the office. I had to print off a couple of things. And no offense, Sam, but your office is crazy scary when it's dark outside. Crazy scary. So I pulled in and I got out and I looked, there's no lights around the outside of the building. So I turned my truck around so that the lights would beam right at the front door, put them on bright, and then I had my little electric starter on so that the truck was running while I was unlocking the door. I got the door open, and I looked for the light switches to the hallway there because they were off, and I wasn't going down those stairs in the dark. You never know what could be down there. Right? I think that has something to do with it. When I was a kid, I couldn't go downstairs at nighttime. If I needed a drink, I would not get the gumption to go downstairs. There is something about light that makes us feel safe. Because when I left the office this morning, the sun was up. I didn't need my truck lights. I didn't need the hallway lights. I didn't even need the lights on in the office. I felt safe because all around me, there was light. And that light revealed my next step. It's not hard for me to find my way out. It was not hard for me to get home because light illuminated my path. When Jesus is talking to Nicodemus this day, and he talks about being born again, consider the picture of birth. For 9 months, the child is in a place of darkness. In 9 months, that child is developing and growing and changing, but all the while it's safe and secure, but it's in darkness. And then all of a sudden, in a situation that's not comfortable for the mother or the child, they are entered into an area of bright, bright, bright existence. Now, that light probably isn't very comfortable. And I would imagine that's why kids most times come out screaming their heads off. They're asking for someone to turn the lights out again. But once you get a little bit accustomed to that light, you can actually then look up and see the face of this woman who's been talking to you all this time. And you can see this other guy that looks a little scary, and maybe an older sister or brother. You get accustomed to the light, and you like the light. My friends, if we're going to answer the question of what's the point of our faith, what's the point of following this God, we have got to come out of our darkness and come into the light. And I don't know what that might look like for you. I don't know if you find yourself in the darkness today and you've been searching for the light. I don't know if maybe you've experienced the light, but now if you could just be honest with yourself for just a brief moment, you'd say, you know what, it's been a while since I've walked in the light of God. I've kind of meandered myself right back into the darkness of sin. I don't know where you find yourself in this moment, but I will challenge you with the question of coming out of what you might find being dark and coming in to an area of light. I have a prayer that I'd like to put up on the screen today, and I'd like for us all to read it. Because no matter if we've been walking with the Lord for a while, no matter if this is brand new for us and we're still trying to figure out what the point is, I believe this prayer can unlock the door for you of darkness and take you into a place of light. I believe that by praying this prayer with heart and passion, that you can come to a place where God will reveal His truth to you and the answers you're seeking will be found. So let's do this. I'd like to just invite you to stand. Let's stand right where you are. The prayer is on the screen. And let's just pray this prayer from the depths of our soul today. And let's ask God to reveal His light into our life. Let's ask God the question, what's the point of following Him? And let's ask the God of gods what it means to serve Him. Let's read it together, all together in unison. Lord, I seek to live a life of truth. I want to live in the true light that only You can provide. I believe in You and want to be born again according to Your Spirit. I gladly walk in Your light today as You lead me. Let me pray for you. Father, today it's our humble prayer that as we come before You, the Son of God, the Holy One, the Righteous One, that You will turn on the lights around us, that we can step out of the darkness that can easily trip us up. Lord God, that as we get serious about asking ourselves the question about what's the point, that Your light will show us the way. God, I'm asking not today for anything more than the opportunity to come out of darkness and into Your light. Reveal Your truth to us today. We ask, God. We ask today, Son of God, Jesus Christ, that You will become our light. It's in Your name we pray. Amen.